T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Tyrod Taylor was officially placed on injured reserve. He was playing really well. Really everything you could ever want from a quarterback, not named Deshaun Watson. So now, guys, it is going to be Davis Mills.
You know, when Tyrod is ready to go, whenever that is, then we'll assess the situation and we'll ultimately make the decision that we feel is best for our team.
He'll be our starting quarterback. That's my alarm to get down here to you all. I want to make sure I was here early.
Sports Radio 610 presents former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley. It's Clint Sterner and the show.
Oh, Clint, so much happening here in a beautiful city of Houston, sports-wise. And hell, before we can get to the Astros, who are going to their fifth consecutive ALCS, what we just heard a little bit there in the open just had me scratching my head all damn day long. I want to play. We got to hear it again. Because this morning, and if you missed it, you missed a damn treat. Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast were great with Nick Caserio this morning. If you missed it, use that Odyssey Rewind feature. You can hear it. He had them on. They were on at 7:30 this morning. Really, really good stuff, as they always do with the general manager, Nick Caserio. But Nick Caserio, Clint, we've said he's the guy, right? He's the decision maker. We feel like this is a general manager-led football team.
For sure.
That's how we feel. So when Seth and Sean asked him about, all right, what's going to happen when Tyrod Taylor gets healthy, he said this.
Making progress. It's really day-to-day, quite frankly. And, you know, when Tyrod is ready to go, whenever that is, then we'll assess the situation and we'll ultimately make the decision that we feel is best for our team. Going into, before he was hurt, or up until the point that he was hurt, Tyrod had played well. He played really well, actually. So things change. But again, we'll take it one day at a time, and then we'll make the decision that we feel is best, and we're not going to predetermine anything, not do anything until we get in that position.
When I heard that this morning, I was like, oh, Davis Mills, we talked about this a bit yesterday. Davis Mills might have a legit shot to hold on to his job. When you heard Nick Caserio say that, it was like, oh, he might have a shot to hold on to his job. Until we heard David Culley today. And then David Culley, the head coach, speaking to the media, said this.
When Tyrod comes back and he's healthy, he's our starting quarterback. He gives us the best chance to win. I mean, he's our starting quarterback. He was our starting quarterback when he went down, doing an excellent job. And when he comes back, he'll still be our starting quarterback.
Well, what the hell? What do we do with this?
Oh, my goodness.
Look, first and foremost, Culley and Caserio are clearly on two different pages with who the starting quarterback is going to be if and when both of them are healthy at the same time right now. They clearly have not had that conversation. But based on those two comments, Joe, this is one I got to ride with Caserio, man. I mean, this can't be a predetermined decision after what I saw last week. Before last week, you can go ahead and predetermine it, and you can say, hey, man, based off what I've seen so far, there's no question about it. Tyrod Taylor gives this team the best chance to win ball games, and more importantly, the best chance to move forward throughout this NFL season, navigate this NFL season, if you will, with putting at least a respectable product on the field that, and I'm talking about respectable level from a rebuilding organization standpoint. What we saw in Buffalo was troublesome, right? Tyrod Taylor could steady that ship a bit. Now, based off what we saw last week, like I said, I got to ride with Caserio. I think it's a very fluid situation. I don't think you can predetermine it. And I think if Davis Mills goes out there and performs the way he did against New England, if he repeats that, or not necessarily a 140-plus rating for a quarterback, But if he goes out there and plays winning quarterback for the Texans, then I think you're in a position where you really got to consider riding with the rookie moving forward.
Yeah, but I just don't even know why you would even predetermine it. Like, why you would even just say, all right. Because it seems like David Culley is on the you don't lose your starting job due to injury train. And
oh, no, he's not. It doesn't seem like he said that. He literally said he does not believe in a player losing their job due to injury. Now, I don't know that he meant that, but his words verbatim, he was asked that question, and he said he doesn't believe in it. Again, I don't know if that was a knee-jerk reaction. I don't know that Culley processes everything in the moment as he's being asked and sometimes doesn't just fire off, but he answered that question, and he doesn't believe in it.
I just can't. That's the first thing you said is they're not on the same page. And if you're just jumping in, Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Hughley, Tyler producing this. The general manager this morning on Payne and Pendergast, 7:30, said, hey, man, we'll reevaluate it. When he comes back, we'll look at our quarterback situation. We're not going to predetermine what we're going to do. We'll get to that when it gets there, and we'll see what we do then. The head coach, maybe 2-3 hours later, said, oh, no, Rodgers is starting quarterback. And you first thing you said was clearly they're not on the same page. God, how does that happen? Like, how in the world could those two? You got to know that's got to be the number one question that's going to be coming. Like, we sit down and we talk like, all right, man, what are the things we're gonna get hit with this with? All right, Tyrod Taylor, Davis Mills, who's gonna be the starter when they come in? Like that could not have caught either one of them off guard. Both of them went spoke to the media today, and both of them have completely different answers. Like, they're not on the same page. Like, one part of the organization's going one part. And they know that's something that is an issue of how people view if they know what they're doing. And I just don't understand how that comes about. How in the world they're not on the same
page? I mean, they clearly hadn't talked about it. I don't know how it happens, but they clearly haven't talked about it. You know, I tell you, the thing that sticks out to me is that it seems like, you know, David Culley's convinced that Tyrod Taylor gives the team the best chance to win a ball game. And again, before last week, I think that was pretty clear cut. You know, I don't know if that's the case right now. I think if you look at the quarterback performances game by game this year, that the best quarterback play the Texans have seen, when you take the opponent into consideration, when you take finally getting a little bit of experience under your belt into consideration, I don't know that if you're honest with yourself, the best quarterback play that we've seen, I believe, was Davis Mills last week against Bill Belichick in that defense, more so than what you saw against Tyrod Taylor, which is heavily influenced by the four quarters that he played against Jacksonville, who's an absolute dumpster fire, maybe more of a dumpster fire than the Texans have been. So I think it's more of a level playing field than most people care to admit at this point. I think it's a very fluid situation. And I don't know how, given that what he did last week, what Davis Mills did last week, I don't know how you predetermine that decision. I agree with you, Show. I don't know how the hell they haven't had that conversation. This is the week. This is they're 3 weeks into Tyrod Taylor being a possible 3 to 4 week, being out for a possible 3 to 4 weeks. That conversation should have been had of, hey, where's the organization at with Tyrod Taylor when he comes back?
Both knew they were doing media today.
Both knew that question was coming. Show, that's not even – you've had 3 weeks to have this conversation. Hey, fellas, we're going to get asked about Tyrod Taylor. What's it going to look like come the week of him when he's eligible, if you will, to come back on the field? Not if he's healthy, but when he's eligible, you know you're going to get the question. Well, he's eligible, and it appears like the GM and the head coach haven't had a conversation. Now, the question is, do you think Caserio is playing it tight to vest, or – do you think David Culley just stepped back in it here and maybe made that decision without any communication about it with the GM?
Yeah, it's weird. You're doing it. I get you. You got 3 weeks, but hell, y'all knew y'all was doing media today within hours.
That should be part of your Monday morning meeting,
right?
Before okay, after the game, everybody goes straight to the post game presser. Whatever happens. But at some point in the AM hours of Monday morning, you would think that Nick Caserio, Jack Easterby, and David Culley would sit down and have a conversation about, hey, these are your three hits of the day, fellas. What are we going? Tyrod Taylor's going to be one of those, right? This past week, Charles Omenihu had to be one of them. What's our messaging going to be to the fan base and to the media? They've had 3 weeks. They've had 3 Mondays, going on 4 Mondays now, to have this conversation about Terod when he comes back. It appears they're not on the same page. And if I'm a betting man, one, I got to ride with Casario because this can't be a predetermined decision. But two, if I'm a betting man, Cully doesn't step back in that mess again.
I was going to say, not only am I riding with Casario in his explanation of, I don't agree with, hey, injury, you don't lose your job. Like, hell, you can. If somebody comes out here, like Tom Brady, that Drew Bledsoe lost his job. When Tom Brady came over and took
Fair.
Over, Drew Bledsoe lost his job. He didn't get that thing back, and he shouldn't
have gotten it. Terod lost his last year in L.A. with the Chargers.
And he should not have gotten it back once his lung wasn't punctured because Justin Herbert, it was time for him to play.
That's right.
And so I not only ride with that, but, hell, I also ride with who's going to win out on the decision. If it is Cully says, hey, man, I'm in it. I don't think you should lose your job to injury. But Casario says, no, I think we don't want a predetermined thing. Let's evaluate it when we get there. I got to say, the person that I think has a little bit more stroke and power around there, I think I'm going to lean towards Casario's plan as being the one that's going to happen.
Ain't no doubt. AT, you can go ahead and get on them ones and twos and mix up that David Cully you just heard, and he's real confident about Terod Taylor being the starting quarterback when he's healthy. I don't know what the back end of the audio you can build yet looks like, but you can put that Cully on there being real confident and then put that back it up, rewind. Hey, back up, Cully. That's it right there.
It's going to happen when Davis Mills has a solid performance Sunday against the Colts, and then they come back and Tyrod's ready to return, and Davis Mills is his starting quarterback, and they're going to come out and say, hey, well, Coach, I thought he wasn't. And then he's going to have a change of heart. Well,
hear it. What is it? What is this week what? Week five, six? Week six. 1-4 is what they are, right?
Four, yep.
This is week six. I can already see the Friday before week seven's game when they announce that Davis Mills is the guy. T, you go ahead and finish that audio right there after that little scratch. Back up, Terry. Back up, Cully. Back up, Cully.
Bagel, Terry.
It'll go something like.
Put in reverse, Terry.
It'll go something like, well, basically, what happened was. Basically, what happened was Davis Mills. He showed us some things,
you guys know,
and that way is why we chose this decision. So that's basically how we got there from that standpoint.
What you doing, Tanner?
From that standpoint, that's great. You guys know. I mean, look, it's hard to win a ball game. It's hard to play the quarterback position in the NFL. And this Davis Mills kid, man, he's going out there and he's two weeks in a row. He's played really well. And I'm telling you, man, he made me change my mind.
Real quick, Clint, before we get out of here, shows Army text line says, Clint, are you serious?
Dead serious.
Serious that he is that Davis Mills may give them the best chance to win over Terod Taylor?
If Davis Mills has yes, absolutely. I mean,
dead serious about that.
I'm dead serious about it.
I'm just reading what the text was.
I'm dead. Did you watch the game last week? Did you see the numbers from last week?
Football Jesse.
I mean, I think it's a conversation. I'm not going to sit here and tell you.
You're not 100% saying with certainty right now that Davis Mills gives you the best chance over Tyrod, but you're saying it's a conversation.
I'm saying yes. Yeah, I'm saying before last week, before the New England game, it was cut and dry. There ain't no doubt about it that Terod Taylor gives you the best chance to win a football game, right? But now, after what we saw last week against New England, there is a conversation to be had. Based off of what we've seen this year, there is no doubt about it. It's no longer about, well, one guy's got a high ceiling, one guy's a journeyman quarterback, one guy's mobile. No, if we're strictly talking about who has been given the reins as the starter and treated like the starter for 2 or 3 weeks for multiple multiple training camp practices, both guys have had plenty of time to learn the offense and inside and out. And if you say which game is most impressive across the board at the quarterback position, I think there is a very, very high percentage of people that would say Davis Mills' performance against New England and Bill Belichick is more impressive than Terod Taylor against Jacksonville, right? Now, to me, there's a conversation to be had there following today. Last week wasn't a conversation. Right now, it's a conversation. Absolutely, dead serious.
Carlos Correa shows another reason why he needs to get signed and needs to get signed by the Astros, because he put himself in the company of guys like Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Tom Brady, Wayne Gretzky's the greatest. He put himself in that company. We'll explain that next.
That's why I feel sexy.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
0-2. Correa to left field. That will get down for a base hit. Altuve and Bregman will score, and the Astros take the lead. Correa with a two-run double in the third.
That was the game winner, as it turned out to be. The Astros win 10-1 yesterday and advance to their fifth straight American League Championship Series. But, Clint, I got goosebumps when I heard.
Yeah, you should. I mean, you should. That's the biggest moment in the game yesterday. That's the biggest moment in the series, right? I mean, it ended, especially in hindsight and at the time. I mean, Rodon was on the mound.
And he was rolling.
And he's jumping, squatting around, thinking he struck somebody out, beating them. Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest moment in the ALDS, if you will.
He's rolling and knocked him out of the game. It brought in that White Sox bullpen, and it just got worse from there on out.
If that goes the other direction, that stadium, that ballpark would have absolutely erupted, and you could say huge advantage. 1-0, it would have been 1-0, right, Chicago, and they would have been trotting back to the dugout with their fan base going absolutely ape.
They had just scored the inning before. They had just hit their home run.
Right.
Jake's out of the game.
Right.
Myers is out of the game.
That was a huge momentum swing at the moment, and in hindsight, it was the biggest play of the series.
But I said this in the tease. I said, this is another reason why Jim Crane is going to have to just pay this dude. And this is another example, not just that play of what happened, right? Because as you said, it is the biggest play of the game. But listen closely to how Los explains his thought process while he is up at the plate in this. And remember, you said that the crowd's going crazy. The crowd was, there's one thing. Chicago had a lot of stupid stuff happen, and we'll hear a lot from their manager and other players. But their atmosphere at that stadium was crazy. It's going nuts. Pressure situation. This is what Carlos Correa was thinking about at the plate during that at-bat.
It was one of those at-bats that, you know, watching the game, I saw how he was striking people out with the fastball up, and, you know, he was yelling and banging his chest. So I was like, I'm 0-2 right now, bases loaded, they crowd on their feet. He wants to blow a fastball by me right here so he can bang his chest once again. So I was all over the fastball. I was trying to get on top of it, and he threw it, and I capitalized on it. I was ready for it.
Listen, people aren't, and you know it, you played it, people aren't thinking through. Like, that's the stuff that great ones do, thinking through. Hell, there's some people who may not have been closely watching the at-bat he had with Alvarez in the two innings prior to that when he went off beating his chest and doing that, and put it together as, oh, that's what he wants to throw the fastball so he can strike you out to get out instead of, like, trying to go. And so he's sitting there thinking through it. The crowd's going nuts. Second and third, pressure situation.
Oh, they were juiced.
Yeah, he is.
No, the bases were juiced.
Well, the bases loaded.
The bases were loaded. Two outs, and it was an 0-2 count.
And he's sitting there 0-2, and he's calmly thinking through. All right, this is all right. I remember what he did in the first inning. He's gonna want to blow this by me, and that quick a time frame. That is like I said in the tees. That's the kind of stuff that great ones like Jordan and LeBron and Kobe and Brady and thinking through things before they're going to happen. That was big time to hear him speak that way.
The ability to engage at that level in that moment, which is obviously you described well with just all the pressure and all the chaos going on around him, the ability to engage to the level of where you recall the last inning, you recall the pitch, not only that, if you listen closely to that audio right there, that explains when he said he was trying to get on top of it, right? That explains the unorthodox swing, the awkward swing that he took. It was almost a hack, like he was hacking it over the top. But now that explains. I just thought it was a high pitch that he was trying to get to, but he was trying to get on top of it to make sure that it wasn't a pop out, make sure that the ball didn't rise essentially over the bat.
There was no launch angle on his swing. He was trying to get his wrists over,
yes,
and to get on top of it.
Yeah, I mean, so the ability to do all those things, to step in the batter's box with an 0-2 count with this pitcher, recall what happened last inning, process it at a level where you're like, okay, he's coming with the high heat. How do I execute? I got to get on top of this pitch. To do all of that is absolutely, no question about it, show it's next level engagement, next level focus, next level like processing. And some
am I blowing that out of proportion?
No, I'm fixing to give you something there too. There is, some people may hear you say that and go, well, wait a minute. Well, look here. We're talking about the playoffs, okay? We're talking about October baseball in Major League Baseball. And yesterday, Carlos Correa moved to third place. And this is in MLB history. He moved into third place on the RBIs in division series, ALDSs. He moved into third place, 29 ALDS RBIs. And guess who he passed? Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
So when some people make a wait a minute, Show, you can't put this cat, based on the conversation that we're having, Show's not trying to put the dude in the Hall of Fame. He's simply saying that he's doing things that the greatest to ever play the game do.
He's thinking through.
And the only look, you can't argue it when he's got more RBIs. Yesterday, he passed Derek Jeter. And by the way, he's third on that list. There's some other cats on that list that you would throw in the greatest of all times. And so I'm not saying that stat and him moving that them RBIs mean that he's a Hall of Famer, but it damn sure validates the conversation, the point you're making, if you will. I mean, this is big time, next level stuff, and the dude just time and time again impresses at a whole nother level and just embraces these kind of moments.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just sitting there thinking from your sport as a quarterback in a to me what that was is like 2-minute drill at the end of the game when you gotta have it and you kind of reflect on coverage and tendencies on something that a corner or a safety or a linebacker does to get you a shot to be, but you're doing it in 20 seconds,
yeah,
and you're recalling all of that. like not everyone's able to do that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And that's what that reminded me of in that small situation that he's thinking through all of that.
So I had a moment like that in college, man. It was the biggest game of my career when I threw the touchdown against Tennessee at home to beat him after I fumbled and gave him the damn national championship the year before. I like literally we're going down the field driving, and we're running the ball really well. And they were closing the middle of the field and bringing a safety into the box because we were running the ball well. So we called a double post concept. And the safety, he's kind of backpedaled originally. But then right as I let the ball go, I'm looking down. I'm staring down the barrel. Right as Emmanuel Smith, my underneath wide receiver on the underneath post, he caught it. Right as he caught it, boom, the safety hit him. And in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, that safety's horny. That safety's jumping, right? And so we ran the ball a couple more times. And then we went back to the same exact play, and I changed the outside route, right? We had like a post with an out route outside. I changed it back to a true double post because I had seen that. And I remembered, and in that moment, like that's the most chaotic. They stormed the field after, and there was people. There were 75,000 going eight. They were going crazy, right? And in that moment, it was just one of those where you're so dialed in and so focused in the game that – the recall and the ability to make those kind of decisions, those kind of plays, it's an out-of-body, out-of-mind type thing. You just react and respond. Obviously, Los did it at a whole different level here in the damn ALDS versus Carlos Rodon. Not comparing myself to him, but it's the same idea of, man, there's so much commotion going on around you that you when you just laser-focused like that, it's next-level stuff.
Because I feel like the majority of guys are up there thinking, all right, 0-2 count. Just don't strike out. Choke up. Let me start
make
my
contact.
Bat. Let me make
just contact.
Contact.
Yeah.
He's sitting there thinking, oh, I mean, in 15 seconds.
Yeah.
0-2. Oh, first inning. He had Alvarez right here.
Yeah.
All right. He's beating his chest. He's going to try to blow a fastball.
The recall, too, is sick, right?
Like that fast, that quick in that time period. That just, when he said that, and you heard him speak about it, that wasn't past tense. Like, he broke it down so much.
Right.
Like, I'm trying to get on top of the fastball.
Think about that. Carlos Correa can recall the at-bat.
Oh, God. Why are we going back to
David Culley can't recall whether a pass was thrown in the last drive of the game or not inside the 10.
Oh,
sorry. Sorry, Culley. I didn't mean to die. I can't help myself, man.
That was right there for it, huh? You took it. You couldn't let that one pass.
I couldn't let it ride.
It was right there on the
table. I couldn't let it ride.
Hey, Jim Crane, it is there, man. This dude is next level,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, no question.
This dude is next level.
This is one you can't let out the door.
You can't, man. You can't. He's 27. All right, I'm not even going to get started on that because that just – it's going to get me. Let's talk to one of his teammates, right? Like, we got somebody who is potentially moving forward and could get him a ring if they can finish this thing off. Ken Emanuel, who was injured and is on the IL for the year. We're going to speak to him next, and we're going to see from him what the impact of a guy like Carlos Correa is and the concern level and what potentially Lance McCullers is feeling right now with the right forearm tightness because it's something that he's had to deal with. Ken Emanuel coming up next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Ah, yes, as the Astros look forward to moving on and starting game one of the ALCS hosting the Red Sox on Friday, we look forward to have Kent Emanuel, left-handed pitcher, to join us coming up soon. But, Clint, the White Sox did some things to piss off a lot of the Astros and a lot of Astros fans. Ryan Tepera, the reliever. And by the way, do you know Ryan went to Sam Houston State?
I did not know that. I've heard, through the grapevine on social media that he's from Houston. I believe lives in Houston.
Wow.
I don't blame him. It's a beautiful place.
Why not?
Texas kid. Is he originally a Texas kid?
Yeah, he should. I believe so.
Well, yeah. He should have known better. If he's going to be around these parts, he should have known better and run his mouth.
He really cut it loose though.
Look at him,
and he knows it.
I think it's probably a decision he would choose to make it a little different.
Yeah, but him accusing the Astros and not really coming out with his chest, but accusing the Astros. It's not what the story is about, but you know they do a lot of shady things around there. You know, and then of course
he insinuated that they were cheating at home,
yeah.
And then struggled in the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth inning against the White Sox in the game three. He insinuated strongly, smoke and mirrors. He insinuated strongly that they were cheating at home.
I gotta believe people were trying to hunt him down for the interview after yesterday's game because they scored six. They end up scoring more runs in Chicago than they did.
Right.
In Houston, 16-15.
Right.
16 runs to 15.
Right.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. Do you think that added something? Because you're an athlete, you've been in there, you've been at the do you think his comments added something to this group?
Yeah, absolutely I do. I mean, Carlos Correa talked about it after the game. I mean, he talked about, you know, they came out fired up, you know, after the comments. I mean, it's clear. Yeah, I think it motivates those guys. I think that those kind of comments, especially when they're made well in advance. I mean, it was 48 hours before they took the field for game four. So I think when they're made well in advance like that, yeah, I think it definitely is bulletin board material for an organization. In this case, it was definitely bulletin board material for Carlos Correa and the Astros.
Let's find out. Ken Emmanuel, left-handed pitcher. For the Astros, man, we thank you so much for joining us and taking the time out as you guys are going to the ALCS. We were just talking about this. Ryan Tepera, I believe I'm pronouncing his name incorrectly, but Ryan Tepera, his comments, do you think that added any kind of motivation, any kind of extra oomph for the rest of this series for the Astros?
Tough to say, you know. Me not being there certainly is a big factor in me not knowing. I know that all that stuff, it affects everyone differently. And I mean, when you think about it too, it's like, I think four players only were on 2017. They're on this team now. So I'm sure a lot of those guys were also like, hey man, what the heck? Like, I'm here doing my thing. I'm a new player. Like, and I want to go out and beat you guys without any of that. So, you know, tough to say. I'm sure that some guys took it to heart more than others and maybe it was some extra motivation for some guys.
Kent, man, I don't want to take you to a bad place, man, but I was rooting for you to be a big part of this run, man. I was a fan watching you early on. I'm sure the fan base was excited about the future, man. How bad is it? I mean, how much does it hurt to not be a part of this particular run? This is a special clubhouse, man, and I got to believe that it's tough to watch this and not be a part of it.
Yeah, for sure. You know, hate to finally get out there and then, you know, not be able to join in the postseason run due to injury. Obviously, no one wants that. But I got to give the guys credit as well as the coaching staff. They've done a really good job in terms of just kind of keeping me in the loop and making me feel like I'm involved. I know, you know, Strami called me within half an hour after they clinched a postseason spot just to congratulate me and say, hey, don't think that, you know, you're not a part of this and this, that, and the other. So all the guys over there, they've done a great job. But at the end of the day, you're absolutely right. It just kind of sucks being at, you know, watching it on a couch rather than being a part of the game.
Astros pitcher Kent Emmanuel joins us as the Astros make their fifth consecutive trip to the ALCS. We were just talking about this in the last segment. Carlos Correa had the huge hit. To give them give you guys the lead that you all never relinquished there, and just understanding being in the clubhouse with him, how impactful is he for this team, both on the field with his play and then off the field with his leadership?
Yeah, you know, he's a special player. I mean, there's no other way to really say it. You know, certainly on the field, I mean, his play speaks for itself. He's one of the best players in all of baseball. And, you know, I'm not sure if there's any guy that I'd rather have behind me when I'm on the mound at shortstop. So, you know, on the field certainly speaks for itself. Off the field, he's certainly you know, a great leader in the clubhouse. But I got to say, our team, just the clubhouse in general, like, not to downplay how great Carlos is in the clubhouse, but the team's just so great top to bottom that I feel like there really isn't much of a need for any one guy to be the guy. I feel like everyone's just is in a great place. So hopefully that all translates well into this postseason.
Kent, what about Lance McCullers, man? Show and I have talked over the last week or so, I guess since last Thursday, since game one, man, is like that was a defining moment. Hey, there's no Verlander, there's no Cole, there's no Greinke looking over your shoulder. It's game one. The ball's yours. Nobody's doubting it. Go out there and play. And then last night he toes the rubber in game four versus Carlos Rodon. Another huge moment for Lance McCullers, man. How big for him in his career is that in terms of establishing yourself as an ace? It's one thing to have electric stuff. It's one thing to have a couple of it's one thing to have a couple of good appearances or great appearances here and there. But it seems like he's in the process of establishing himself as an ace. How big are those moments?
Yeah, I think they're really big moments. You know, like you said, he's got electric stuff. He's always had the stuff to be a top of the rotation guy, no question about it. And you know, finally. You know, it's tough to get opportunities to kind of be the ace when you're, you know, teammates with future Hall of Famers, you know, most of your time in the big league. So for him to finally get the opportunity to be, you know, game one starter postseason and capitalize, I think that's going to do nothing but great things for him. Hopefully it can, you know, turn into a real positive snowball for him. And we'll see more of that, you know, in the future.
Astros pitcher Kent Emanuel with us. And speaking of McCullers, we know he was taken out of the game yesterday because he was feeling some tightness in his right forearm. And I know with your injury, you have some understanding of that. Is that similar to what you were feeling before you were injured and had to have your UCL repaired this year?
Really hard to say. You know, the forearm tightness is such an umbrella statement, and I'm not in the clubhouse and I haven't had a chance to talk to him personally. I really have no idea. You know, I will say him being a Tommy John guy, at least in my experience, after surgery, it's kind of hard to figure out what the heck's going on with your arm after that. You know what I mean? Some days it's not going to feel good, even when you're quote unquote healthy after surgery. So tough to say. You know, obviously I'm hoping for the best. I think we all are. You know, hopefully I get a chance to just talk with him about it. We've had the unfortunate brotherhood of being TJ partners here on the Stros.
Kent, what about this? Obviously, the Astros wrapped up the series last night or yesterday, I guess, and now it's on to the Red Sox, man. I mean, a little bit about the Red Sox, a little bit about Boston, a little bit about the matchup. You know, where's your head at in terms of watching this from a distance?
Right. Yeah. Well, I got to say, you know, the last team standing from the AL East, I mean, that's nothing to dismiss. That's a really, really tough division. And for them to be the last one standing certainly says a lot about them. This is a really good team. So, you know, and then when you couple that with, you know, them getting to knock out their rival in the wild card game, followed by knocking out the team with the best record in the American League in pretty dramatic fashion at home. You know, I'd like to see the Astros kind of start out hot just in hopes of kind of letting the Red Sox know, like, hey, this is a new series and you're facing a pretty good team, so you guys better not get too comfortable. So I'm hoping the Stros come out strong to start.
Kent Emanuel, thank you for joining us. Before we get out of here, listen, you've been around these guys, you know these boys. I want to know from you your top three. Who is the one in the clubhouse? We see Dusty drinking out of a shoe. We see we see people out there, everybody going crazy. Who, in your opinion, the top three that really, let's say, has a little bit too much fun during these, do you think would have too much?
Man.
Oh, no, I know. You got to give me the dirt.
You can't let me out of
them
like
oh,
that.
Hell no. No, come on. Who is it?
No, you can't let me out of them like that. I can't do that.
Hey, I tell you,
I got to plead the fifth.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Kent, it looked like – I think it was Stubbs. Stubbs with that burly beard, you know, kind of patchy beard and that hair hanging everywhere. He's a little bit smaller than everybody else. He was running around there the first time he got out. He snuck out of mom and dad's house and got to a house party.
Stubby is a hype man like no other. I will say that, so that's no surprise there.
Cough three times if Ryan Stanek is one of them. All right, Kent, man, thank you for joining us.
All right, no problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, man, that's Kent Emanuel, left-handed pitcher. He had a repair to his UCL and had Tommy John surgery, and hopefully he'll be back. I know you said that to him, but I remember he had that one game where I forgot which starter. Oh, it was Urquidy, who left the game earlier, then he pitched 8 straight innings to end that game and looked real promising. And at that time, you remember, there were struggles throughout the bullpen. Like, hell, man, just give somebody a chance. And this kid you thought would be a good chance. So hopefully you see him back when he returns from injury and we get a chance to see what he could do at the big league level, because it was starting out pretty good for him.
Yeah, I mean, it was promising to begin with. You know, obviously there's a lot more to a 162-game season and obviously where the Astros are right now. But, I mean, I'd bet that if he would have stayed healthy, he would be a part of what's going on right now with the Astros. I mean, I think that would probably be a safe bet. I mean, the big lefty, you got Blake Taylor, I guess you could lean on, but I mean, from big lefties that you could bring out of the pen, I mean, there's not too many of them out there. Brooks Raley's doing a good job from the left side. That's a whole different style. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think he had a pretty promising start. Yeah. We'll see what the future holds.
Yeah, from Show's Army text line, why is Show always trying to get people in trouble? Hold on a minute, that's not one to get him in trouble?
You know, like, what? I was going to give you a hard time, but nah.
Who has the best time? I bet you if I did that to you, if, you know, your Cowboy team ever got a chance to really celebrate something like that, I bet you could rank the top three players easy. Well, hell, you may be one of them.
Oh, I was definitely probably going to be in the top three.
Top three. Guys, I don't think – you wouldn't be afraid to say that, would you?
No, not if I was in the locker room. Now, if
I didn't say the top three that would do cocaine. I meant the top three
not the top three that snort a line, just the top three that was – no, I would have – if I were part of the team and if I were injured and had been gone the majority of the year and completely disconnected from the locker room, yeah, I probably would have bit my tongue on that deal too. Yeah, I mean, that's just, when you're disconnected like that, I mean, especially in baseball where there's so much damn turnover, I would imagine that would be a tough – that would be a tough thing to do, especially if it's Verlander, Correa, and Grinke, the top three guys, you know. So,
which it absolutely would not be.
No.
Especially
no.
Those last two.
No. I'm trying to think who it would be.
Zach's probably on the plane already, somewhere by himself with his swords.
With his swords to count.
No, seriously, who would be the top three? 713-572-4610. I'm sorry, and I'm doing this, and I will come clean strictly by appearance. Ryan Stanek feels like somebody who had
– it's got to be.
He had something tied around his head, like a karate thing, and he's running around with – Bud, and they're in there drinking Bud Heavies too. He's running around there with Bud Heavies just letting it roll.
Yeah,
Siri looked like he was having a hell of a time.
I bet Siri his give a rip is zero.
Oh, you don't think you're playing? Yeah, then you're doing it. No, you're just going out there. Whoa!
Machete was letting it loose.
Yeah,
Stubbs was letting it loose.
Drew Stubbs. That's another one. Those guys that
Stubbs looks like one that could get on some moonshine in the backwoods, doesn't he? I mean,
I had Drew Stubbs as like visual. You said
I remember seeing it. I'm pretty sure it was him. If it wasn't him, then it's somebody else that hadn't been up much and hadn't played much. Smaller fella, thin frame, kind of a patchy beard. I mean, looked like his hair's a little bit longer, but it's balding, slightly thinning.
I mean, you got a real good look at it.
Yeah, I got a good look. Hell, his hair was soaking wet last night. He looked like a wet cat ran across there with some goggles on. A long-haired cat running across there.
What do y'all think about Yuli? I think he's sneaky, could be up there.
Yuli's too pretty.
I was going to say that.
Yeah, Yuli's one of them dudes that is like, I don't drink beer. I don't mess my hair up. I don't know. I'm not banging on him. I'm just saying. He strikes me as one of those dudes.
He strikes me that he cares too much about his look to care. Like, I think I think Los cares too much about how he's perceived to let it get away from
yeah.
him.
Yeah. Right? Altuve's too mild-mannered. Nice. I think Bregman's probably got a little sneaky.
Yes.
I mean, look, if you went to school in Baton Rouge, you got some nasty in you. You know how to get in the streets a bit. So I bet he'd surprise
you.
Oh,
you're right from the text line. Chaz McCormick.
Oh, no question. White boy Chaz.
What are we thinking?
White boy Chaz, no question.
He has to. I bet Jake came back.
I bet Brantley's a buzzkill.
Nope. Yeah. Brantley was somewhere reading Malcolm X.
Alvarez is probably the big guy that as he drinks, he gets too physical. Like, hey, man, just don't. I mean.
Hey, man, nobody want to go out with this. Nut,
Dan Hampton. I ran into, like, this wasn't that long ago. I ran into Dan Hampton. You know, he played at Arkansas, too. Yeah. So there's some Arkansas ties there. I ran into him in a bar probably about 3 years ago. And somebody, another guy that kind of played between us, introduced us. And he, oh, yeah, I know Clint. And he puts his, palm on my back, and it literally reached from my each elbow to elbow. And he hit me so hard, and I was like, now, at what point did you think that was a good idea? Like, that's awful. That's who Alvarez. Alvarez is that dude that doesn't know his own strength. It's like, hey, bro, ease up. Every beer he downs, it's like it gets more and more physical. So I just – probably, I think people steer clear hanging out with him.
Yeah, Luis Garcia still angry drunk over there in the corner because he got taken out of the middle of the game. Just over there, I and Dusty drinking. drinking
I bet Dusty's in the middle of it.
Oh, hell yeah. Dusty over there looked like he's 56 years old over there. Just, whoo, like it's so cold. All right, the news of the day here with the Texans. And what do you hear what the head coach had to say? He said there is no quarterback controversy. We'll let you hear what David Culley had to say about who a starter is going to be.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.